Please open your Bibles with me to John chapter 16. John chapter 16, if you would stand, I'm going to read verses 23 through 27. This will be the text that I preach on this morning. 23 through 27, John 16. And in that day, you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. These things I have spoken to you in figurative language. But the time is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figurative language. But I will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day, you will ask in my name. And I do not say to you that I shall pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from God. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God abides forever. You may be seated. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you would open the eyes of our understanding and that you would teach us the wonderful things that you have for us in your word. We pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Amen.
In John chapter 16, the beginning of verse 23, we are entering into the conclusion of the Lord's farewell discourse in the upper room. That farewell discourse began in chapter 13 and runs through the end of chapter 16. Then, of course, we have in chapter 17 the Lord praying for his disciples, and not only for those who were with him in the upper room that evening, but for those who would follow after them in their faith in Jesus Christ. That is, he's praying even then, 2,000 years ago, for us. Before we get there, however, we come to the conclusion. And in the conclusion of the Lord's discourse, he doesn't really give to the disciples anything new. But he repeats some things he has already said to them. Now let me remind you that the point of repetition in the scripture is to underline the importance of something. And today we're going to look at the Lord's instruction regarding prayer. That is the theme of these verses that we read this morning. Now, prayer is not a new theme in this discourse. He's touched on it at least two other times in the farewell discourse. Why does he say basically the same thing over again? It's because he is underscoring for us the importance of prayer. As we look at these verses this morning, we're going to look at four things related to prayer. First of all, we're going to look at the nature of prayer. Secondly, the privilege of prayer. Thirdly, the condition of prayer. And finally, the promise of prayer. First of all, the nature of prayer. Jesus says in verse 23, and in that day you will ask me nothing. In that day you will ask me nothing. Now, as I studied this text to prepare for this sermon, I discovered that there were two different ways that that first part of the Lord's instruction could be taken. First of all, it could mean that in the day that the disciples saw him again after his resurrection, that they would not have to ask him anything. That is, they would not have to ask him to explain some of the things that he had already said that they did not understand, but that he would explain them to them. And when the Holy Spirit was given after Pentecost, that they would be able further to understand the things that he had already said and done. You remember a few weeks ago, I gave you several examples of things that the Lord said to the disciples that they did not understand. They didn't grasp the spiritual meaning of those things. They didn't understand the spiritual nature of the death of Christ and what that death accomplished. They didn't understand the resurrection and the spiritual importance of the resurrection. They didn't understand the ascension. They didn't understand the nature of God's kingdom. There was a lot that they did not grasp because they were, at this time, spiritually not competent to grasp those things. But we read that when Jesus met in Luke chapter 24 with the disciples after the resurrection, that he opened their mind to understand the scripture. So after he came alive and met with the disciples, after he'd been crucified, they didn't have to ask him anything. They didn't have to ask him to explain all the things that they didn't understand, because he opened their minds to understand the scripture. And then, of course, after the ascension, with the coming of the Spirit of truth, they were able to further grasp and comprehend the spiritual meaning of the life and the death and the resurrection and the ascension of Jesus Christ. So that is one way that that could be understood. But if we think of it related to prayer, Jesus may be saying, and I think this is probably what he is getting at, you will not ask me anything. Why? Well, he's no longer going to be physically present for them to ask questions of him. That is, you're going to direct your questions to the Father. The word ask, which is used 5 times in these verses, translates 2 different Greek words. The first, ask, in verse 23, translates a Greek word which means to ask a question. And the disciples had done that in the upper room. Peter asked, Lord, where are you going? In 13:36, and followed that up with, Lord, why can't I follow you now? Thomas said to Jesus, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? 14, verse 5. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? So the disciples were full of questions. And after the Lord's departure, they would no longer ask any questions that they might have to him. They would rather ask those questions of the Father. And so the nature of prayer is that of asking. And we're told repeatedly in the scripture that we should ask, we should make requests of God. And by the way, the second Greek word translated ask in our text this morning is a word that means to make request of. So that you remember in Luke chapter 11, the disciples, or one disciple, after seeing Jesus in prayer, made this request. Lord, teach us to pray. And so we ask our questions to the Father. And when we have requests, we make those requests to the Father. Now, Jesus is not saying here that we can never ask our questions nor make requests of him, but they should be primarily directed to the Father. And so we are to bring our questions, we are to bring our request to the Father. And so the nature of prayer is that we ask. You might remember Matthew 7:7. Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. You might remember James instructing his readers that if they lack wisdom, to do what? To ask of God. And so that is what we do in prayer. We come to God with things that befuddle us. We come to God with things that confuse us. We come to God with things we don't understand. We come to God with our request that in difficult times and circumstances that cause us to be anxious, we come to God requesting that peace of God, which passes understanding, that guards our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. And so that is the nature of prayer. It is asking. Now, it's not only asking, it is also praying to God with thanksgiving, praying to God and praising Him. And so there are other things that are involved in prayer. But fundamentally, what Jesus wants His disciples at that time and wants us now to know is that prayer involves asking. Ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and the door shall be opened. And of course, you know, in Matthew 7:7, the word ask is in the present tense, which means to ask and to keep on asking. And so that is the nature of prayer, that we ask the Father our questions, and that we make request of Him. Then there is the privilege of prayer. It is because of the Lord's atoning death that we have the privilege of direct access into the Father's presence. According to Paul, it is in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and confident access through faith in Him, for through Him we have both our access in one Spirit to the Father. What a privilege that is, to come into the presence of Almighty God, the King of all the earth, the Holy One, to ask Him our questions and to make requests of Him. The writer of Hebrews writes of our great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hebrews 4:14 through 16. Brothers and sisters, let me just recommend the memorization of those verses from Hebrews chapter 4. The writer of Hebrews also writes, we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, since we have a great priest over the house of God. Let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with the water. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 22. Bold, confident access to the Father's presence, the same kind of bold and confident access Jesus had in relationship to the Father, and the kind of bold and confident access that the disciples had when Christ was physically present with them. You, through Christ, our great high priest, have that same bold and confident access. And you have the assurance, the writer of Hebrews says, that when you come into his presence through Christ, he's not going to ask you to leave. You are accepted in Christ into God's holy presence. What a privilege is ours to come to God in prayer through Christ. So, that is the privilege of prayer. The nature of prayer is that we ask. The privilege of prayer is that we have access to the Father through the atoning work of the Father's beloved Son, our Savior and our Lord Jesus Christ. Thirdly, there is the condition of prayer. In verse 23, Jesus promised that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Verse 26, in that day you will ask in my name. And so here Jesus teaches us the important condition that when we come to the Father with our questions and our petitions, that we come in his name. And there are three important ways for us to understand prayer in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. First, this means that we must pray to the Father as those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. By believing on Jesus as Lord, we acclaim his deity as the covenant God of his people. Lord is the English equivalent of the Greek Kyrios, which translates the Hebrew name Yahweh or Jehovah. When the apostles referred to Jesus as the Lord, they meant that he is the incarnate God and sovereign of his people. This is why the early Christians refused to praise the Roman emperors with the acclamation, Caesar is Lord, Kyrios Kaiser, since to do so was to praise Caesar with the divine glory that belongs to Christ alone. When we pray in Jesus' name, we are praying, believing that he is the Lord, that he is God. The personal name Jesus tells us something additional that we must believe. The name means Yahweh saves, or Yahweh is salvation. The angel told Joseph that he was to call the child in Mary's virgin womb by the name Jesus, and here's the reason why. For he will save his people from their sins. Matthew 1:21. Finally, the name Christ is really a title or office. The Greek Christos, translating the Hebrew Mashiach, which is Messiah. The Messiah was the anointed one, being a noun form of the verb to anoint, pointing to Jesus as the one who perfectly fulfilled the three anointed offices of the Old Testament. And what are those three anointed offices? Prophet, priest, and king. So when we come, the condition of our coming to God with our questions and our requests is that we come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Understanding that he is God, understanding that he is Savior, understanding that he is the anointed prophet, priest, and king, Messiah. See, what you believe about Jesus really matters, doesn't it? If you're not coming believing those things. You cannot expect access into God's presence. Richard Phillips makes an interesting comment. He said, "What we find in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is the minimum truth that we must believe to be Christians. Therefore, to say that we must pray to the Father in His name is the same as to say that only true Christians have access to the Father." James Montgomery Boyce writes, "It is a family privilege. God does not promise to hear the prayer of anyone who comes to Him in any way, but through faith in the person and work of His unique and beloved Son." Second, to pray in Christ's name is to approach God relying on Christ's blood and merit, and not on any merit of our own. You and I have no right of our own to the favor and blessing of God, but we are invited to appeal to God in the name of His Son, who has every right to all the treasures of heaven. So when we pray in the name of Jesus, the importance is not a phrase that we attach to our prayers, but the reality that we are coming to God on the basis of Christ's saving work, on the basis of His merit and not our own. Reuben Torrey compares praying in our own name with the presenting of a check to a bank. It will not be cashed if we do not have sufficient funds to cover the amount. But if we go to the bank with a person's name signed to the check, and that person has great resources in his account, then the check will be honored. And so Torrey concludes, "So it is. When I go to God in prayer, I have nothing deposited in heaven. And if I go in my own name, I will get absolutely nothing. But Jesus Christ has unlimited credit in heaven, and He has granted to me the privilege of going to the bank with His name on my check. And when I thus go, my prayers will be honored to any extent." To pray then in the name of Christ is to pray on the ground, not of my credit, but His, to renounce the thought that I have any claims on God whatever, and approach Him on the ground of Christ's claims. Now, why even bother saying that? Well, I bother saying that because oftentimes, and let's be honest here, we approach God on the basis of, even though we end our prayers in the name of Christ Jesus or Jesus Christ our Lord, we base our hope in the answer to our prayer because of the things that we have done, which we think merits God's favor on us and obligates God to answer our prayers. James Boyce comments, "Much modern prayer, even by serious Christian people, is useless and ineffective because the people involved approach God thinking that He is obligated to grant their request because of something they themselves have done for Him." So when we pray in Christ's name, we are praying in the name of the One who has sufficient merit to grant our request. In recent years, some people have taken offense at the Christian insistence on praying in Jesus' name, demanding that in public settings we be willing to omit reference to Jesus. The idea is that we must acknowledge a multitude of perspectives on God and on prayer. But Christians cannot do this and remain faithful to our God. Gordon Ketty writes, "Not to pray in Jesus' name explicitly and unambiguously is to conceal the necessity of his atoning death and faith in him as the sole ground of approach to God. It is to suggest by silence that there are other ways to God and that God will accept that prayer of those who do not know Christ as their Savior. Christless prayer is godless prayer, however pious it may sound. No one can come to the Father but through the Son." Thirdly, to pray in Christ's name is to pray in such a way that our requests are in line with his revealed will for us. Our prayers must reflect Jesus' character and objectives in order to be in his name. And the best way to know how Jesus would have us to pray is to know the Word of God. And one of the best ways to learn how to pray is to look at the prayers in Scripture. Look at the prayers that are given to us of Old Testament saints. Look at the prayers that are given to us of people like the Apostle Paul and others in the New Testament. Look at that model prayer that Jesus gave to his disciples that we call the Lord's Prayer, which really should be called the disciples' prayer because he was teaching them how to pray. The real Lord's Prayer is in 17 of John. But in that model prayer, Jesus teaches us to ask the Father for six things, to make request of these six things. And I'll tell you that more recently, I have made these things the six things that I request when I pray for myself, when I pray for Melissa, when I pray for our three children and their spouses, and when I pray for our grandchildren. They're the things that I pray for you. One, hallowed be thy name. That is, that in everything we do and say, in a particular day in which we are praying for our loved ones and for others, we are praying that those people would honor God and that they would glorify God in everything. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. We live in a spiritual kingdom over which Christ rules. And my prayer is that Melissa and I and our children and grandchildren and you will submit to the King of that kingdom on that day. And I pray that on this day, that when we gather together in worship, that we will remember that we are gathering together in the presence of the King. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. I pray that in everything related to the people I am praying for, that God's good and perfect will be done. And if it is a difficult providence, that God would give them the sufficient grace for that difficulty. If it is something that causes them anxiety, that God would give them a peace that passes understanding. I pray that God's will be done. And that's what I pray for our worship service. That in our service would be directed by the Word of God and not by my own ideas of what worship should and should not be, but by what God has revealed in his Word. Give us this day our daily bread. Now that refers primarily to those things that we need to physically sustain life. But it also, spiritually, can refer to those means of grace, particularly God's word and the sacraments, which nourish us spiritually. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts. Do you need to be forgiven? I need to be forgiven every day. And I need not only to be forgiven, but I need God's help to forgive those who have offended me. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And oh, I want to be kept from temptation. And I want my loved ones to be kept from temptation as well, from falling into sin that would separate them from God. Deliver us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. And so, and then we have in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus in 17:7, praying for the disciples that God would sanctify them. What's he praying for? That God would grow his disciples in holiness. And how does he do that? By his word, which is truth. I mean, you look at the prayers of Paul in Colossians chapter 1, where Paul says in relationship to the church at Colossae that he prays that they would be given spiritual understanding. They might know the word of God and not only know it, but understand it. And of course, with that understanding comes application. And so those are just some of the things that we ask God for and request of him in the name of Jesus Christ. So we have the nature of prayer, asking, the privilege of prayer, access to the Father through the Son, and the condition of prayer, praying in Christ's name. And finally, we have promises attached to prayer. Jesus said, "And in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask in the Father in my name," now remember, it has to be consistent with his will when you pray in his name, "he will what? He will give it to you. He will give you." That is, he will answer your prayer. What an encouragement that is. Have you received any answers to prayer? If you have, those answers ought to encourage you to continue to pray. Because God has promised that he will answer. And again, sometimes the answer is yes. Sometimes the answer is no. Sometimes the answer is wait. But I guarantee you that he will answer your prayer. And that in praying to the Father in the name of the Son, your joy will be full. What's the joy of prayer? Well, the joy of prayer is that God answers, but the joy of prayer also is that we have access. And the joy of prayer is that we have access into the Father's presence. And it's into the presence of a Father who Jesus says loves us. What a glorious thing it is, and how joyful it is to be able in prayer to sit and converse with our loving Heavenly Father, who has our best interest at heart. And Jesus says, "In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I shall pray the Father for you. Now, that doesn't mean that Jesus is going to stop interceding for us. It doesn't mean that Jesus is going to stop being an advocate for us. But what Jesus is saying here is that I do not have to intercede for you, begging for the Father to accept you and to love you and to grant you access into his presence. He doesn't have to do that because we have access into the Father's presence through the Lord Jesus Christ. And he doesn't have to cajole the Father into loving us because the Father already loves us. And it was because the Father loved us that he sent forth his Son into this world to save us from our sins. How glorious is this matter of prayer. And how encouraging it should be to us, and what a joy it should be to us. Not a drudgery, but what a joy it should be to us to come to the Father in prayer through the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that God hears us, knowing that God grants us access, knowing that the Father loves us, knowing that the Father has our best interest at heart. And we'll do those things in response to our prayer, which he deems to be good and for his own glory. But you see, Jesus himself was a man of prayer. Jesus taught the disciples how to pray. What is Jesus teaching us? He is teaching us the importance of prayer. So let me close with this question this morning. How important is prayer to you? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have granted us access into your presence through your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What a joy it is to be able to come into your presence and to make our prayers and petitions made known to you because you care for us. Father, we thank you for the privilege of prayer, and we pray our Heavenly Father that we might be found often before your throne of grace. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.